Politicians have been fair game for satire since ancient times. Greek playwright Aristophanes poked fun at his country's leaders in his comedies until he ran into trouble with the Macedonians, who declared it a crime to ridicule the government. While it's not illegal for American playwrights to criticize their government, many theater professionals say it's becoming harder and harder to do for a number of reasons. Charlene Scott of member station WFCR reports.
With a handful of exceptions, political satire has been non-existent on Broadway since the September 11th terrorist attacks. New York Times critic Ben Brantley says that's partly because political satire is a very tough genre.
News is covered so instantly now and interpreted almost as instantly. You've got the crawl on your television screen on CNN. You've got the jokes made in Jay Leno's opening monologue that night. Satire really does have the shelf life of sushi, because by the time a person can sit down and compose a play, especially a kind of knee-jerk play written in anger, indignation, or just out of a spirit of impishness, the world has moved on.
But sometimes staying power isn't an issue. One of last season's top moneymakers at the Long Wharf Theater in New Haven, Connecticut, was Gip Hoppe's A New War, which takes aim at the media's 24-hour coverage of the war in Iraq. As the play opens, two television anchors and a reporter, all played by Janet Zarish and John Cunningham, salivate over the prospect of covering a war.
Good evening. We have breaking news. America has a new war, Chet.
That's right, Andrea. America's new war. This is a brand spanking new war.
Not the old war, but a shiny, gleaming new war.
America's new war. Tricia will give us all the latest.
Thanks, Don. Right now, details are sketchy. America's new war is being fought somewhere against an unknown enemy. The Pentagon has named the war Operation Bend Over and Take Your Eagle the Hard Way.
Playwright Gip Hoppe says he's not just concerned about what he sees as an uncritical media, but also about a theater community that's become too dependent on corporate funding.
The corporate spider web is, you know, a complicated thing, and there you can usually find a tie between one corporation and another, and it all adds up to this corporation has a vested interest in the policies of war being successful. I mean, you know, General Electric owns NBC. General Electric makes weapons. General Electric is going to make latest total I've seen is well over $6 billion profit on the Iraq war.
Sponsors do exert pressure on theaters, says Oscar Eustace, artistic director of Trinity Repertory Company in Providence, Rhode Island. Eustace says he got into trouble with a production of Nickel and Dimed, a drama based on Barbara Ehrenreich's book about the story of minimum wage work in this country.
When we did Nickel and Dimed, we absolutely received phone calls from major corporate supporters suggesting that we were doing something counterproductive to our own interests by producing this play. Now, none of those corporate supporters took their money back, but those phone calls made us sweat.
That's a fact of life today, says the artistic director of New Haven's Long Wharf Theater. Gordon Edelstein says he thought long and hard before scheduling several plays last season with political and social points of view.
I'm not beyond fear. You know, I read a play, I might be afraid to do a play that I know is going to offend part of my audience. My job is to sell tickets, in part, to keep my audience returning. When I'm doing a play that I know will annoy, alienate, anger part of my audience, I don't treat that cavalierly. And I weigh those questions seriously each time I choose to do a play.
Some artistic directors say even if they wanted to, it's not that easy to find good political theater because so much of it is didactic and preachy. Tony Ticcone is artistic director of the Berkeley Repertory Theater in Berkeley, California.
What I'm looking for is plays that pursue a certain story that's so compelling and so penetrating that it has to be looked at. It has to be watched. There's a kind of passion and an urgency and a precision and an intellect behind the storytelling which describes something about America or about the society or about personal relationships within the context of living in this world. And that's worth doing anywhere.
It takes commitment to produce plays with a point of view as theaters around the country continue to scramble for shrinking funds. Corporate support is down in part because some businesses are contributing more to social causes. Playwright Donald Margulies teaches at Yale University and won a Pulitzer Prize for Dinner with Friends. He says significant cuts in government funding for the arts over the past decade have also shrunk the potential for new audiences for theater. He contends that young people with little or no arts education are weaned instead on television, videos, and computers.
Our government, our society, has created a generation of people who simply don't think in abstraction. And I think that one needs to put on one's thinking cap when going to the theater and or seeing a film that may be something other than blockbuster entertainment. And I think that we have fostered a mentality that somehow is ill-equipped to handle abstract thought.
Margulies says he also faults producers who may be trying too hard not to offend audiences and wind up presenting works that don't express any opinions at all. Tony Ticcone, artistic director of the Berklee Repertory Theater, agrees.
I think that they are capitulating to an unspoken opinion that art should be the province of either simply psychology or the emotional inner life of characters without delving into history or societal issues. And I think that is a huge mistake that the producers make who are giving people what they think they want, and for the audience who kind of gets weaned on that stuff and they get used to sort of seeing that.
Well, that doesn't happen with liberal audiences in Berklee. Ticcone admits that much of the work done there wouldn't travel well to some areas of the country. Even though his audience is also fairly open-minded, Trinity Repertory Director Oscar Eustace says it's getting harder to avoid the subtle pressures that he says weigh on playwrights who want to explore different points of view.
What has happened, I think, is the theater has been part of a general trend of the weakening of progressive and left principles in our culture and a general drift towards the confused center, which I think makes it harder sometimes for really striking and powerful voices of opposition to be heard.
Playwright Gib Hoppe has a less idealistic view about the impact of those voices.
Playwrights, I mean, we're the outback of the entertainment industry. I mean, you know, playwrights aren't going to make any difference. But, you know, so few people see theater that the numbers alone. Do I have the answer? No. All I can do is speak my mind in the medium that I work in, which is theater. But again, I'm under no illusions that, oh yes, I'm changing the world.
Gib Hoppe is currently working on a play about J. Edgar Hoover called I Hear America Whispering. For NPR News, I'm Charlene Scott.